Oh, it's heating up out there. It's getting hotter. Hotter and hotter. This is the news. According to me. Well. Good morning. It is Monday, October 17th, 8:07 a.m. And yes, I'm up doing my thing. I'm at my home studio this morning. Got in late last night from Atlanta. I don't know how you want to pronounce that. It's A-Town. Got in about, it was after midnight. I don't know, sometime. And it's good to be home. Let me just say that. It's good to be home. I have a regular cup here. I have a regular microphone, headphones. The whole ball of wax, that big ball of wax I pulled out of my ear. It's also sitting over here on my desk. Got a big announcement to make in the show here. Interesting thing is going to happen today, this evening. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to be published, but it's going to be a fun time. I've been invited to be on someone else's podcast, which is I'm really looking forward to it. It should be fun. I don't know what we're going to talk about. I have no idea. I don't know if we're going to talk about the show or if we're going to talk about some other show or if we're going to talk about him or me or somebody else. I don't know what we're going to talk about. We'll find out how it goes, but I'll tell you more about that later in the show. At the end, I'll tell you all about that because I'm sure all of you are going to want to hear it. I think it's called Timmons Podcast. I probably should have looked it up, make sure I know the name. See if I go here. I'll go to this thing here. I'll find out as we're talking. I'm talking this morning. Maybe you're talking, but I can't hear you. I keep talking though, because I appreciate the interaction. Just so you know, I have a. Oh, this won't even tell me what things I've subscribed. Oh, it's interesting. Oh well. I'll have to go to the app, I guess. I have in my cup this morning, my chai. Boy, am I happy about that. I'm actually very happy about the fact that I've got chai this morning. I take chai with me when I go on my trips and stuff, but I don't always have access to hot water. When I get that craving for some chai, I don't necessarily have a place to get hot water. I can... You know, those hotel rooms, they have these little coffee makers. You can make hot water with your coffee maker. No, I'm sorry. For someone who doesn't like coffee, I don't like everything tasting like coffee. And this, if you run hot water through those things, I guarantee you the water is going to taste like, anything you make with that hot water is going to taste like coffee. Now, if you like coffee, that's great. I can see where that would, you know, it has that little toffee flavor to it. But I don't like that. I want to taste the chai. So it doesn't work for me. I have to, I'll probably have to figure out a way to carry around a little hot water pot thing. However, there's a microwave in, not in the room, of course, in the particular hotel I stay in. There's one down in this little lounge down at the end of the hall. It's more like a communal shack. That's what it is. It's actually kind of more of like a log cabin. It's kind of a bit of like a big tent, actually. It's down by the highway, down underneath some trees. But it's not bad. It's a pretty decent place. But it's just hard to get hot water. Now, where I work, the office has a break room there. I actually have a couple of them. And those have like these big coffee makers, coffee machines. And on the side of them, they have this place where you can just get hot water. And it just tastes like hot water. You can make hot chocolate. You can make all this. But at work, I don't necessarily like to drink chai at work. It depends on what time of the day it is. I like to sip on my chai after breakfast and chat with you folks. Here I am sipping and here I am chatting. So that's what I like to do. When I enjoy my chai, it goes down. nice and warm, warms up my insides. Speaking of warm, this part of the country I'm in is going to be down in the 40s the next couple nights, and I still have to get the sails off my boat. That's going to be fun in the snow. We're talking about snow, possibly. The it'll be back up in the 70s over the weekend, I guess, or at least almost 70 as a high. I'm going camping over the weekend. That should be fun. Or we call it glamping. I guess people would call it glamping. Unless you've been in my camper, then you understand that is camping. Actually, you would feel safer inside a tent inside my camper, probably, than, or maybe you just feel safer outside under a tarp. I don't know. It's actually not too bad of a camper. It's not, you know, it's nothing. It's over 20 years old. Let's just put it that way. So you don't know what kind of critters are living in there. It has its own little ecosystem within it, I think. Pretty sure. Don't tell anybody, because then they want to come in and set up some kind of National Geographic thing in there. I have there's quite a few things to talk about today, and I'm hoping I don't have too long of a show, because I have a friend in town, actually, that's he was living in California. I think now he's living in Oregon or Seattle or someplace. I don't know, Seattle or I guess possibly Washington or Oregon. I'm not sure where he's living now. I don't know. He's over there on the left coast somewhere. Poor guy. And he's coming through town. He's leaving tomorrow morning, so I'm going to try to meet up with him today and see how things are going. That's a big deal. So I'm supposed to pick him up this morning. So it's going to be might be a little bit of a short show. However, I have a few things to talk about. Things are really heating up in the political scene. And some things are unraveling exactly the way I, in a way, exactly as I procrastinated. I think that's what it's called. Prognosticated, whatever I foretold. That's what it is. Make up your own word. I don't know. You guys are good at making up words. Some of the people that I know listen to this show have more words than I do. They went to higher learning, and they paid a lot of money for those, you know, $3 words. Well, actually, now probably $7 words with the way things are going up. It blows my mind that, speaking of recession and speaking of inflation, there's a really good explanation. I saw a YouTube video, of course. That's where I get most of my information, believe it or not. And you have to, you know, you can find good information. Everybody's, oh, you got it on YouTube. Oh, it's not discredited. It's not. There is good information on YouTube. You just have to know how to find it and how to sift through it. One of these really good explanations of what is happening with our economy. I can't remember who. It might have been Peter Schiff, possibly. It was someone like that. He was kind of a side guy. Kiyosaki also. He's got some good information. The rich man, poor man guy, or rich dad, poor dad, whatever it was. They don't necessarily. I mean, they have their own marketing scheme going on behind the scenes here. You have to understand where they're coming from. But a lot of the information that they provide and a lot of the education that they provide really helps to clear things up in terms of what is going on with the Fed, what is going on with one of the simple things that it's called too many dollars chasing too few goods. And this is why we're seeing this. It's a tripping over itself economy. It's kind of like a person stepping on their own shoestring. They didn't explain it this way, but this is the way I'm trying to relate it to you, because I'm not as intelligent as some other people are. So I'm trying to, if you've ever stepped on your own shoestring, which I do usually several times a day, it seems like it's relevant. I have, what you've got is you got the government pouring money out there into the economy. And as you're doing that, so people have the money to spend and they're willing to spend it on items that, unfortunately, in our particular situation right now, because of policies by this administration, they have upset the balance of production because of all the shortages that started. Remember after, not long after the election, not long after, I should say, Biden took office, we had container ships stacking up outside because outside the country here, outside the off the shore, because of all kinds of issues brought about by, guess who? And the people in this administration, the current administration. So we have, I'm not going to say, yeah, whatever. Call it what you will. It's current regime being run by certain people. And so this all got messed up. So the supply chain got messed up. So now you have things that have fallen apart basically because of they can't get parts for certain things. You try to order something. Like for a while it was cars. You know, just something small like a car was being delayed. I think they still are being delayed. Brand new cars are, they still have issues with supply chain stuff going on. But you got people who are willing to pay for them. So you got people buying them, which drives up the price. Now they have this thing called core inflation. How convenient. Where they just take out energy and food. So energy and food can go way up, but that's not considered part of inflation anymore. And guess how they figure out your Social Security check? Well, it's based on core inflation. So the cost of eating and heating your home can go way up. Well, it doesn't matter because that's not core inflation. What kind of ridiculousness is that? Speaking of ridiculousness, of course, don't worry because Biden says, you know, then remember what I've always said about when Biden says something, do the opposite. When he gives you advice, do the opposite. I wish I could play this clip of what's his name? He's always kind of the. Should the American people be preparing for a recession? No, no, Joe says, no. Oh, we might have a little bit of a recession, but it's not going to last long. Joe knows. Joe understands economies. He knows. He was the vice president under an administration that had one of the, this is the new norm. What kind of magic wand are you going to have? I'm going to make a better deal. What kind of magic wand do you have to make a better economy? Oh my goodness, the economy got better. He apparently has a magic wand. These are the people who have no understanding, no clue of. They try to use the economy to drive people into social change. They see it as a tool. They weaponize everything. So Joe says we shouldn't prepare for a recession. You better be preparing for a recession, a major deep recession, because what's happening here is it's a slow motion train crash. Stuff doesn't happen like the stock market just crashed last night. Oh. No, this stuff happens. You're going to see more and more fluctuations on the stock market, continually trending in the downward position. Now, it's interesting how we get close to the election and things, the races tighten up. The polls are tightening up. In fact, many of them are looking like the Republicans in some of these places where they weren't expecting a challenge are being very challenging right now. And all of a sudden, they're talking about, well, we need to secure the border. Nancy Pelosi actually came out and said, when they start talking about comprehensive immigration reform, this is a code word for amnesty. Well, we inherited a system that was broken. No, they keep saying that. I heard Jean-Claude Pierre, whatever her name is. She was out last week. She was saying in a press conference, we inherited a system that was broken. We need comprehensive immigration reform. We need comprehensive immigration reform. That's all you hear them say. What does that mean? What is that? What are you talking about? Comprehensive immigration reform. They're talking about amnesty, a pathway to citizenship. Amnesty is what they're talking about. If you're here, you're here. Unless you're Venezuelan. Why are they not allowing Venezuelans now all of a sudden? Why do you think? Venezuelans who are coming here, by and large, just discovered what it's like to live in a socialist country where all the government programs are free and it's all going to be a utopia. And then, oh no, it's a mess. They will not vote Democrat. Now, if anybody's a refugee coming from anywhere south of our border, it's probably Venezuela. Because there is political persecution down there. Not just economic struggles. There's that too. But if anybody can be classified as a refugee, it's probably Venezuela. The problem is they've experienced where the leftist radicals are trying to take us, and they're not going to like that, and they don't want us. That's the same reason they don't like to have Cubans come here. Cubans tend to be socially conservative, and if they have escaped Cuba, they know that they don't want to stay in Cuba because the reason they left is because of Democrat, socialist, communist, collectivist mentality. They don't want them here. So they're just booting out Venezuelans. Yeah, how convenient. Apparently they're Venezophobic, or whatever. Swelophobic, or what, I don't know. How would you call it? I'm sure they have a name for it. So all this stuff is happening at our border, and it is just a mess down there, and it continues to get worse, and they are hiding that from us. Speaking of law and justice, if you've been following this Denshenko debacle at all, you will start to realize this Durham investigation. He's trying to operate under a DOJ. Oh, I don't know why Bill Barr, in all of his self-righteous, whatever he is, he's just this pompous. I gotta check the words that want to come out of my mouth here. He's just a typical bureaucrat who has nothing to say derogatory about the current attorney general. Gee, how convenient. Durham, who he appointed to be a special counsel, has been doing all this investigation and finding out all this stuff, opening up things, trying to prosecute people, and guess what's happening? Well, he's being shut down at every corner because the DOJ is blocking everything he's trying to do. Now, this investigation into Denshenko, I know this is kind of out in the weeds here. Most people aren't paying attention to it at all. People on the left certainly aren't. All they care about is, when's my government check going to come? Why don't you call me they, them, and him? Either they, them, him, and her. They, them, hi, her, he. I identify as a cat. Stuff like that. That's all they care about. So we got this whole thing with Denshenko going on. Now here's how ridiculous this. Just to give you one example of how ridiculous this trial is. This guy's he's got several charges leveled against him, mostly lying to the FBI and a couple other things, or lying to investigators, whatever it is, and he ends up, he's like got four or five charges against him. Well, they dropped one of them because one of the charges was that he was talking to an operative from the Democrat committee, Democrat Party. And I tell you, this whole Democratic Party thing, that the saying Democratic Party is really starting to bother me even more than ever. Because it has become mainstream. Everybody's calling it the Democratic Party. No, it's the Democrat Party. Please don't call it the Democratic Party. Because it makes it sound like they're the ones who are democratic. A Democrat, you're not a Democratic. Hi, I'm a registered Democratic. No, you're not. You're a Democrat. And that's your party. Your party is the Democrat Party. Anyway, I know I'm being picky about it. It's kind of a silly thing, but it actually bothers me because it does have this it has a change in the way you perceive it, and I don't like that. They're trying to change that their brand, and they're still the same brand. I don't like it. Like everything else they do. So they have these charges leveled against this guy, and he ends up. One of the charges was that he was talking to a Democrat operative or Democrat, someone in the Democrat Party on the DNC, which is actually the Democratic National Committee. So it is Democratic because that's the name of it. Not much Democratic about it, though. Just ask Bernie about that, how Democratic they are. So the problem was he wasn't talking to them. He was emailing them. Droves of emails. So since he wasn't talking to them, he was emailing them, they're dropping the charges. They're dropping, that charge is being dropped. So I guess the charge should have been communicating. So now they're learning, oh, look, we can change this. If all we have to do is say talking when he wasn't talking, don't say communicating because that's any kind of communication. They could have said emailing and found out, they were texting. Texting isn't emailing. They were emojiing. He sent them an emoji. So the charge got dropped. So this is how they operate. Problem with the Danchenko thing is that he was being paid. The FBI was paying Danchenko. He was on staff with them. He was on the payroll. And guess what? The Security Commission did not know this. Well, we can't comment on any ongoing investigations. Well, of course you can't, because you're paying the people that are trying to investigate here. They offered Christopher Steele, Danielle Steele, I think it's an author. Christopher Steele, who wrote this dossier, put together this whole Russian thing, was offered $1 million if he could prove anything in the dossier. The FBI offered him that money. What's that about? How do you do that? We'll give you $1 million if you can corroborate some of this. What? Whose money is it, by the way, FBI? Whose money is it you're playing with? Whose money is it you're offering? Everybody's talking about how if the Republicans get back in office, we're going to have all these investigations. Of course, I'm holding that out to be about 10%, maybe something's going to happen. Here's the problem. And this is where the FBI knows. This is how they operate. These investigations are going to come out. And anybody on that investigation committee that the FBI has any dirt on whatsoever, there's going to be a little call at midnight, 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey, by the way, we have this information on you. You did this, this, and this. You stole from the cookie drawer 2 weeks ago. We know about it, and we're going to let this information out if you don't. This is the way they control these people. they do these investigations, and of course they find all this information out about two or three deep into the process here, which includes pretty much everybody in Congress. So they got everybody under surveillance. And if they have a problem with someone speaking too loudly or getting too aggressive, they just, by the way. Now, if you recall back to a time when Jim Comey met with the president and showed him the dossier and said, just want you to know this kind of information's out there. This was a shakedown. This was the same in-your-face shakedown. Trump knows it. Everybody knows it. I'm just waiting for him to say something about it. He's going to say. Now, the problem was Trump knew that none of it was true. I think Comey was trying to get a reaction to find out, you know, if this actually happened or not. And he was ticked off that Trump ignored him. It's kind of like the, you know, the mobster that comes in and shaking, straightening his tie. He says, yeah, you know, we have this information on you. You know, we can make this, we can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way. You need to behave and straighten up and do what we tell you. Play nice here. We have all this information on you. And we can let this out. The problem is Trump doesn't care. If Trump did all the things that were in that dossier, he wouldn't care. His life has pretty much been an open book for everyone to see. Of course, they make him out to be some kind of monster who's mad and he's just this big crybaby. Think about all the things that they told us were going to happen if Trump got elected. Nuclear war, stock market crash, economy's going to crash. People are going to hang from trees. The lynchings, all the racism. What's happened under this current administration? Pretty much everything except for nuclear war. And guess what? We're closer to it than we have ever been, probably in my lifetime. I don't think I was alive on that during the Bay of Pigs, during the whole Soviet missile crisis. I don't think I was alive during that. I can't remember. I think that was before 1961. I think it was right around 1960. I should probably Google that. Cuban Missile Crisis. Let's just put that in here and see what we come up with. I'm sure some of my friends would know. If they'd call me right now, they could tell me. But I'm not doing this live. Cuban Missile Crisis. There we go. It was November 20th, 1962. I was alive during that time. From October to November. So when it started, I wasn't alive. And when it was over, I was alive. Well, I was alive during the whole thing, but I just wasn't born yet. I was born during the Cuban Missile Crisis. That explains some things. Yeah, it looks like it. Let's see if we can figure this out. October 1962, major confrontation that brought on the United States. So, you know, close to war over the presence of Soviet nuclear arms. This is the whole thing with the planes flying over and getting. I think they were actually using a U-2 spy plane. Yeah, they were using a U-2 spy plane to fly over, and they found that there were ballistic missiles there. So it all started in October of 62, and by the end of November, Soviet Union was promising to protect Cuba in 1960. Nikita Khrushchev. So there was this blockade and all this stuff going on. There were Soviet submarines in the Gulf of Mexico with nuclear torpedoes. according to records that have been found on this thing. It was a very touchy situation, and had Kennedy listened to his warmongering generals at the time, we probably would have been in a nuclear conflict. However, he did not. He listened to some of his other counsel, and they made the right turn, the correct turn. He ended up picking up the phone, talking to Khrushchev. Now, having said all that, we are in a situation right now, and I've learned some things about Russia's economy. It's not as great as you might think. They've been talking about Putin making more money on oil and certain things because of the war, and because of the embargo has actually made him more money. Well, yes and no. The economic situation in Russia is not all peaches and cream. They are in dire straits because their infrastructure has been gutted. A couple of things that have happened. One is, you heard about this mass exodus from the country. All these people that were leaving due to the draft that they were forming, setting up. In the process of that, they lost a whole lot of people from the country who were kind of the best and the brightest, the people who are tech savvy, the people who are the educated, those who had some means of getting out of the country and some wealth. They took it all. All the talent basically walked out the door, or a vast majority of it did. Ongoing, they are going to have some problems. In other words, they're getting desperate now. They're being backed into a corner with all this stuff. You have to keep in mind, at some point, the tactical nuke, the battlefield nuke device, starts to become a better option for them to win this whole thing in Ukraine. He's trying to annex some of the property in. And it kind of aggravates me when I see some of these people on the newscasters, that some of the commentators on this stuff. They'll bring in a general, former army general, or former whatever he is, strategist, whatever it is. And you know, what bothers me about it the most is that sometimes when they do these kinds of things on major networks, they're actually reporting. They're still working for the military, by the way. They'll come into these news broadcasts and they'll say things about what the Ukrainians are doing, what the Russians are doing. And it's all signaling and propaganda. They're either saying it for the sake of confusing the enemy, or they're saying it to help communicate to their allies. One of the two. It's you have to realize there's some coding going on here. But the thing that kind of bothers me is the way they broadcast, the way they commentate on it. It almost looks like or sounds like some kind of sports game. I was like, okay, now they're going to come across, they're going to blitz over this way, and they're going to draw in lines on the map, and they're putting like little things in. Oh, there's like been a victory here, and I'm going to go. It always cracks me up. Same thing with the polls. Let's talk about the polls in the election season here in the country. It's like, well, this guy's in this, there's this race going on, like it's a race going, like they're running down a track. Well, this guy's ahead now. No, he's ahead. No, he's it's neck and neck. You got to pay attention to our polls. You got to pay attention to our reporting because it's exciting. No, it's not. You're trying to make it into something to keep, you know, listenership up. Make it sound like it's this neck and neck exercise. It's not at all. It's just whatever. It won't matter till the day after the election. And of course, then what matters is who counted the votes. Doesn't matter how many votes You count. It count matters. What matters is who counts the votes. So anyway, the tide is changing, and it's. I don't know if any of you have seen. If you have a chance to look at this, look up on YouTube. Sandy Cortez was at a university last week. This video is just now coming out, and looks very bad. First of all, she shows up on campus at this college, university, whatever it was. She's in an auditorium that probably seats, I don't know, 300 people, 500 people. And there's not even probably 100 people there. And of the people who are there, people who voted for her and supported her and were on board with her and her squad and all the stuff that was going on with her leftist agenda, democratic socialists, they are terrified of nuclear war. They think that they're all going to be killed at any minute because she voted for all this Ukraine support. And they are yelling at her. First, this one guy starts yelling at her, and then the next guy starts yelling at her. And nobody is really standing up to defend her at all. And she doesn't know what to say, because guess what? She's not a leader. She has no core beliefs. She can't defend herself. She's just reading speeches from this ideology stuff that doesn't matter. It has no teeth, it has no core, and a foundation of truth. So she stands there like a deer in the headlights. It doesn't look good at all. Fetterman, for example, finally starts coming out and talking to the news. Well, the news accidentally talked about, we had to set him up with a computer so he could actually see what I was saying, and then he didn't even really respond very well to some of the things that were being said, because he doesn't know what he's saying. He can't hear half the time. He gets words mixed up. He gets in the middle of a sentence and can't talk. And you want to be in the Senate. I don't know what the guy makes like $250,000 a year in his job. And he comes out in this hoodie looking like he's a common worker. He's never been a common worker. This is all sham. It's all a theater. It's the political theater of this whole thing. Is he going to show up in the Senate this way? Is he going to be on the floor of the Senate wearing a hoodie? Is that his thing? It's going to be his thing? Because we'll see if anybody says anything about that. Because frankly, there is a decorum. You're supposed to wear. Now, if you notice, Jim Jordan does not wear a tie very often at all. And this is he's thumbing his nose at the establishment by doing that. That's what he's doing. There are these rules of decorum. If you've ever been in any kind of work situation where you're supposed to wear a certain type of uniform, and there are certain established rules about wearing the uniform a certain way, whatever it is. Usually it has to do with unions. Usually it's a union shop that does that kind of stuff. And what people don't realize is when they start becoming the uniform Nazi, or they start becoming I call them the uniform Nazis. They don't realize they're participating in this whole fascist style operation. They don't see it that way. And it's, you signed on to it. You can always leave. If you don't want to wear black socks, just leave. That's fine. My thing is, if somebody wants to talk about my socks or something about my uniform, I'll go home. I'll go home. if you want to send me, unless you got some black, you know, black socks you want me to wear. I have extremely dark blue socks. I don't even think I own, I don't think I have any black socks. I don't know. It's one of those things where, okay, so I'm wearing my sweater. I'm not supposed to wear this sweater with my uniform. Okay, I'll go home. Well, okay. I'm not going to get paid. That's the point. I don't care. I don't need this job. You need a pilot. You don't need, I don't need to be a pilot. You need a pilot. And I'm here to help you. You're going to send me home for wearing a sweater. Because, you know, sweaters crash airplanes all the time. Well, we determined that the reason that caused the crash was because he was wearing a sweater in the terminal. Really? Okay. That's a big deal for you. Now, I've never been confronted about it. I wear the uniform. I try to wear the uniform the way I'm supposed to. When I was a pilot, I was doing that all the time. It was an issue. But we had these people. Some of these people just, there were these people we called the uniform Nazis. And they'd come out and they'd start talk. You can't wear that. You can't do this. What are you doing? Anyway, now if it's the company telling me that's one thing. If it's another pilot, it's like kind of weird. It's just weird. Anyway, I digress. Yeah. So Biden comes out and says we're not in a recession. The economy's strong as all get out. Sorry, he uses other words. Strong as heck. And we're supposed to just believe this stuff. They come out and say things, I don't know if the American people, I think the American people are getting a little tired of this. And of course, as closer we get to the election, all of a sudden they're talking about, you know, Nancy Pelosi even came out and said, we're supposed to secure the border. We need comprehensive immigration reform, and we need to secure the border. Now, see, the problem is the way they put that, the order that they put those things in. This is exactly what they did to Reagan. When Reagan said, okay, we're going to offer amnesty. The deal is we'll do the amnesty thing and then we're going to secure the border. So they did the amnesty thing and then Congress did not follow through with securing the border. They duped him. And they're going to try to do it again. Now think about it. If it wouldn't be close to an election, let's think about, now of course Biden says if the Republicans win, the recession's going to get worse. Prices are going to get worse. We're bringing prices down. Bringing them down from what? Compared to when the Republicans were in office? And I'm not saying that Republicans necessarily have anything to do with it. Well, they do. Policies make a difference. Obviously, they make a difference. Problem is what he's doing, what they've done is they're not undoing the stuff that they did to make this all happen to begin with. The country runs on energy, period. We're an oil-based economy, period. Our dollar is based in the world on oil, period. It's a petrodollar. If you mess around with the energy supply, with energy futures, prices are going to go up. Period. We start to become more dependent on foreign oil, like the Saudis that you just tried to bow down to, figuratively. And what'd they do? Oh, we're just going to cut oil production by 2 million barrels a day. 2 million a day. That's what we're going to do. There you go. Oh, that worked out well. As they say, that didn't age well. So we have this stuff just keeps on going. Now think about if they do get into office, do you think that they're going to continue on this road? If they maintain power in the House and the Senate and in the presidency, do you think that they're going to continue to go down this more center-leaning ideology? No. They're going to come out and say, we have a mandate now, all of a sudden, to do the radical thing now. It's just, it's... I think people are starting to wake up. I hope people are starting to wake up to this whole thing. I think it's just, but here's the problem. I do believe it's too late. There's a guy on YouTube. His name is, I can't remember what his name is. He's got a channel called Warrior Poet Society. Is that what it is? Warrior Poet Society. Let's see if I can find it here. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Let's see if I can find him here. Can't think of the guy's name. here it is. Warrior Poet Society is what it's called. He's talking a little bit about in his last video. I think it was his last video. Stranger Thing. No, it's a short there. VR training night or not. No, I don't see it. Oh, could we take America back? This was probably 10 days ago, a little over a week ago. He talks about this whole theory of could we possibly take America back if we were under the tyrannical reign, much like what the if we had the kind of revolution that we saw in 1776, if we had that kind of revolution happened again, would we be in the same, would we be as well prepared and able to do that? He covers some good points. And it's a tough question. I've wondered this question many times. In fact, I've kind of tried to, you know, to play it out in terms of war game type. Think about how it would look and what it would look like and how is it winnable? Would we actually be able to restore the fundamental liberties as they once were? Or are we destined for this collectivist mentality, collectivist rule, tyrannical rule of this fascist encroachment that we're seeing? The weaponization of our law enforcement agencies. I don't know of any way through that, strategically saying, but I'm not a strategist. I'm also not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not a surgeon. Not a financial counselor. A CPA. I can't even spell CPA. I do drink a lot of chai, though, for what it's worth. But I'm also not a military strategist. I'm not a strategist. And I'm not a geopolitical expert. I'm not even sure what that is. But I digress. Well, as the week goes on, it'll be interesting to see what happens. There are some interesting things happening. And of course, we are now just, what are we, 2 weeks away from an election? Something like that. Two, 3 weeks away from the election. Which means that our prayers are more than ever needed for each other and for our leaders, for this whole system. Because I believe we are teetering on the brink of what could be very difficult times ahead. Now, for some of us who've lived life and gone through difficult times before, this is just, you know, we're seasoned to it. God has seen us through it once or twice or three times or four. We know this is just another one of those. It's not fun. But we have the mental fortitude to get through it. Pray that the younger generation will have that as well. They won't just go nuts. God bless everybody. Thanks for listening. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, I'm going to be on the Timmon podcast this evening. I'll be giving you more information about it. It's going to be recorded tonight. However, it will be on, I don't know when. I don't know when he's going to post it. It could be posted tonight. I don't know. I'll provide a link. I'll tell you where it's at. And I'm going to end the show again because that's what I do. I end the show and I just keep ending the show. So I will give you news on that tomorrow. On tomorrow's show, I will be recording that show tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then possibly, hopefully, I will have Timmon on this show. That's kind of the goal, is to get him on this show and talk about his podcast, what he's doing, what he's up to, and for all of you to share in all of that. And maybe we'll talk politics with Timmon. We'll pry into Timmon's head a little bit. See what he thinks. Which I listen to his podcast, so I know a little bit about what he thinks, but I'm going to let you know what he thinks. Because so it's the news according to Timmon. That's what's going to be. We're going to call that episode the news according to Timmon. Goodbye, everybody. Thanks again. Ending it again. Yeah, I'm really ending it this time.